everybody, welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
This is a podcast about the paranormal and contemporary mythology. Join us on our Patreon. It's patreon.com/reallifesci-fi for access to two bonus episodes a week, video feeds, and more. Also, Monday nights, we've been doing this thing on twitch.tv/reallifesci-fi. We hang out and we're kind of like writing a podcast that who knows, but usually on Mondays we do that. So if it's 8 o'clock in California on Monday night, there's like a 50-50 chance we'll be on there.
Right. We haven't gotten notes from our last week's session, so we'll see.
We're not liars. Sometimes we're on there. reallifesci-fi.show for all of our links, all of our other weird things. Let's welcome aboard the SSRLSF. It's award-winning best-selling author. He's a sci-fi nautilist, Steve Truitt. What's up, Steve?
Hi, guys. What's going on?
How's it going? Hey. Wait, I'm not done. I formatted this incorrectly. Your blog on stevetruitt.com is called From the Desk of a Futurist. It's all about the future. So it's like what's going to happen in 15 years, or what's the time frame for the future? What's the definition of future?
Think about it from this. I look at it from a point of how stupid are we? And where are we driving? Which ditch are we going to drive ourselves in?
Okay.
So everything I write, I have blogs on there, and everything I write is, here's what I see us doing now. Here's my little bit of history that I might have an awareness of. And here's where I think we're going to go with what we have, the tools that we have now. How are we going to fuck it up? And that's kind of how I write it.
Yeah. I called at the very beginning of streaming. I knew that in like 10 or 15 years, someone was just going to package all of these streaming services and sell them to us basically as the new cable. And yeah, I feel like that's happened. It's about to happen.
Can I tell you how I got here?
Please.
Yeah, true story. I'm sure I'm older than you guys. I graduated high school in 1984. Somewhere in 1982, the Panasonic handheld camera became a household item. And everybody got to start shooting video. And I remember thinking, God, that sucks, because now it's just going to be this jingly jangly non-tripod, and everyone now gets to shoot video, and it's going to suck because it diminishes the art form, whatever that was. And then my thought was proven correct when I saw a Folgers commercial. And the Folgers commercial was the first time I ever saw cinema verite in a commercial, where the camera was moving around as if a 12-year-old shot it. And I thought, that's the beginning of the end. That's it. We're now going to make mediocrity popular, and cut to reality TV in the early 2000s. And now we've got, you know, what we've got.
The hard part about what you're saying, because I agree with you, it was hard for me to get into Friday Night Lights for that same reason. But when I try to watch, and that's a great show. I fucking love it. But I was like, geez, man, not looking over there. My biggest pet peeve these days is when you watch a big budget movie use these low budget fighting tricks. I'm like, I understand that you're making a movie where these people may not be fighters, but you can still get a stunt crew. You can't, you're not supposed to use all these tricks that we use in the low budget world on this $100 million movie. And that's just what they're all doing now.
Well, what's one of the tricks that you're talking about?
Like panning real fast on action. As if you're like in the fight, but then like, you know, I can tell that the actor isn't moving as much as a regular punch would happen. Like,
that is, you know, that's a total low budget trick. You're right. Jerking the camera off to the right.
The latest Matrix, I know that wasn't as big a budget, but I was like, man, I wanted to watch this because the fighting was so good in the first one. And then like, now they're using the tricks that I use. And I'm like, let me make it.
My kids go on Instagram and they post something on their phone, and it's by the way, it's portrait, not panorama, which drives me
we need to get back to
and that. All of our TVs are going to be tall in the future. There's my other futurist prediction.
I fucking hope not, dude. I like that. I don't understand, because it seemed like the internet as a whole was like, don't shoot in portrait, shoot in landscape. But then all these apps started happening and they're just like splitting the difference. Instagram's a square. Yeah. I don't know. It's just like, come on. It's not hard to turn your phone sideways. Go 90 figured it out, right? That was a hit. Go 90.
Because it's easier to do this than to do this. I don't know.
Yeah.
The other thing I figured out was that Harrison Ford has the distinction of being the only man in history who will ever be nominated box office star of the century. This is another futurist thing I thought of. In 1999, when they said he's the box office star of the century, I thought, well, there wasn't one before that because there was no box office.
Yeah.
And by the year 2100, there'll be no box office. He's the only one that gets that. Ooh. That's the kind of shit that I wake up at 2 a.m. and think about. Like, Harrison Ford, box office. Like, that's what...
Wait, but still, though, there's no one challenging for that title?
No, he won it. He won it in 99. Box office star. He beat out Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, where
and
there was really
no
only like
first century box
yeah,
office.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Got it.
That's the kind of shit that makes my wife. She's like, "You're a lot."
It seems like you have a sort of dire view of the future, and who can blame you? But how much of being a futurist is that you don't like change? Is that in there?
I love change, and I embrace change. I am all about change. I'm 50 Cent. I'm all about change. But that's me. I couldn't possibly see the dire. I don't think I have a dire view, but from your perspective, I wouldn't have that dire view.
Minorly skeptical or something.
I think it's more realistic. I think it's more like, look, the best of us are addle and we try to have peace. The worst of us are the ones that fight. This is how we made it this long. The fighters are what got us here. But they're the most of us. So the survival of this species will somehow transmute itself. I don't think we're going to destroy ourselves, but I don't think we're going to be the best of ourselves. The best of ourselves don't fight. They sit in think tanks and they come up with ideas and they do
stuff. Yeah.
It's like you're a snowflake and, you know.
Yeah. We have a thing here on the show called the Wow Scale.
Wow Scale.
Stands for Waiter Willie. It's a 5-question quiz to judge where you are on the spectrum of this show, right?
Yep.
So at the end of the 5 questions, I'll give you a score. It's anywhere from between 0 and 5. If you're more of a 0, you're more of a Wade. If you're more of a 5, you're more of a Willie. Are you ready to be Wade on the Wow Scale?
I'm ready. I was looking forward to be honest.
Okay. First question, 3-parter. Do you believe in ghosts? If so, have they visited Earth? If so, have they visited Earth in the last 300 years?
Ghosts or aliens?
Aliens, yeah.
Did I say ghosts?
You said ghosts, yeah.
Sorry.
I believe ghosts never happened come before. From another planet.
Don't convolute the test. At the sign of any distress, it crumbles.
I apologize. I'll go with ghosts.
No, so aliens. Everything I said, only aliens.
I do believe in aliens because I believe that life exists outside of our solar system. I don't believe anyone's come to our planet, and I don't believe that they're here. In fact, the latest blog that I wrote is about that very topic, is that there are no aliens visiting here. I listened to your podcast with Joelle, and she said that in 2027, there's going to be this alien reveal.
Yeah.
And I don't buy it.
That was, a CIA insider was leaking that, and... I don't know. It's weird when it comes to leaked information, there's a fine line between whistleblowing and then like being a part of the misinformation. And I lean towards buying into that, but I'm just like, dude, if you watched the last congressional hearing where, you know, David Grush was like saying stuff, they all had to get the information that they were leaking, whistleblowing. They had to get that approved. You don't leak or whistleblow stuff even in front of Congress without getting that approved by somebody. I'm like, who's approving what's getting leaked? Yeah. I'm like, that's
strange.
That's too much.
The aliens.
You may pass along this information. I think that the distances are just too vast for anyone to reach here. I don't think people understand how big space really is. It's just, there's so much distance between us and anything else. So.
A lot of my hope, though, comes from that aliens just come and take us all out. I wish for that every day.
My parallel, Steve, is that you're within an atom in your body. The distance between an electron and the nucleus could be compared to the distances in space, just the perspective of it being inside of you.
You're right. It's all relative size-wise.
Yeah.
In the book that I wrote, I proposed that we're living in a dendrite in a brain.
Yeah, yeah.
What's the book called?
It's a series. The first book is called The Mindset Chronicles, Book One, The Deletion, which I happen to have here. It's on sale in the lobby. And it just won an award today. The second book comes out in April, and it's called The Spill. And it's about post-AI. So it takes place when AI becomes so powerful that it realizes that it's no good for humanity and it kills itself, which leaves humanity in an era of
totally helpless.
Communication, totally helpless.
Yeah.
That's called the deletion. In order to get out of that, a genius inventor creates a mind-connected device that connects the minds of everybody on Earth using what he thinks is crowd wisdom. And if you've heard of crowd wisdom, it's the theory that while 1,000 people might be wrong on something, in the aggregate average of their ideas, it's correct. The average is always correct. That's right. What he thought would happen. And of course, the opposite happens. Mm-hmm. Humanity goes crazy. And
so you
said series about.
As an author, you set out.
I guess I am pretty damn dire.
Well, I don't think you can. What glimmer of hope has been offered? Like there is nothing to show us that we're going to be fine.
Taylor Swift's kind of cool. Other than that, I don't know. I think we'll survive. I just think we always get to the lowest common denominator. That's what I think.
Let's continue the wow scale here. Ghosts. Yeah. What do you think about ghosts?
I think that there's an energy, because energy can't be destroyed or created, right? So mm-hmm. once someone actually dies, the energy goes somewhere. I don't know if it's an apparition or it has a consciousness, but I do believe that energy transforms somewhere. So maybe not Casper, but maybe, you know, a flower grows where it didn't grow before, or a hummingbird visits you and it's weird.
What do we say this, though, Willie? I mean, this feels more in line with what I think than you. So should we give him a no here?
I'll say no on ghosts.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Traditional ghosts, no.
What about Bigfoot?
No. I think they would have found him by now.
He's right behind Willie. He's right there.
He's looking at you.
Oh, well, then, yes. What's on his... Are those his actual nipples? Because...
Yeah.
He's excited.
Do not body shame in this day and age.
He fell down and the fur ripped away.
I'm telling you. He's a sexy beast, literally.
No on Bigfoot. Psychics? What are your thoughts on psychics?
Again, yes, because I think that there's a tuning that we can have. Some people can tune into whatever vibration or energy is. I do believe in energy and vibration. So if you can, some people are more adept at tuning into it. So yes.
Okay, well, let me ask a follow-up. I've never done this. Are you into like the pineal gland and like the Fibonacci sequence and stuff like that? Do you get that deep into this stuff or not?
I don't know what the pineal gland is, but I thought I had...
Willie can tell you all about it. It's a part of your brain that supposedly has been calcified because of various chemicals that we put into our bodies. But if it weren't calcified, we would have better brain power.
In the middle of your, right at the base of your, I don't know, it's somewhere in the middle of your brain. Basically, it's a part that has rods and cones, which our eyes used to see.
Eyes, yeah.
But this is something in the middle of our head. And so if you look at the drawing of the Eye of Horus, an old ancient Egyptian hieroglyphs, mm-hmm. that if you put a brain behind that, that is a map to this, the eye of the soul, which is... the seat of the soul, you know, the...
Oh, so wait, did I misreference? So the Fibonacci sequence doesn't have to do with the pineal gland.
That's math and music.
No, yeah, that's just a sequence.
And nature. There's a bunch of it in nature. I misspoke. Kill me.
So does that mean that we've been eating too much sugar and it's fused out this eye of the soul?
It's really the, fluoride... calcifies your pineal gland. So adding fluoride to water is like some people think it's a way that they are controlling us by disconnecting us from the universe. I think there's kind of a mixture of like just corporations, like instead of throwing away toxic waste, hey, you splash it on your teeth and you have less cavities. So like they just are making money instead of having to spend money getting rid of, toxic chemical.
And you think it's that deliberate?
But I do think that that is happening.
It's happening. Do you think they're aware that they're doing it?
I think the companies are trying to make money, but they were sold. The person who like connected everything was someone who was like trying to make that happen. So it's just like everyone's just making money, but
like the Evo Shandor of toothpaste.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, the guy who started to, the guy who started to sell fluoride was also the same guy who did a lot of the World War II propaganda, who also helped convince people that breakfast food should be sausage and eggs and bacon. It's just like this person who I forget his name, but he was big into brainwashing techniques, I guess, you know, like got us all into the war, got us all to support the meat industry, helped come up with the food groups. Like,
this is why I don't go for conspiracies, because I never feel like we're smart enough to put that kind of effort together and have everyone be involved and no one rats on it. I feel like,
brother, that is like, I had to retire that argument after like 50 episodes, because I just kept saying the same thing over and over again, which is like, no one's this coordinated to do this.
Yeah, I don't see that. I can see people being inconsiderate, eager, rather greedy, and stupid in their greed. But I can't imagine someone being like, we need to shut down the thing that keeps people connected to the universe, so we'll create fluoride. But on the other hand, it's been proven that aluminum foil creates Alzheimer's, or at least that's where they are right now. I followed this very closely. My mom passed away from Alzheimer's. I followed very closely. I don't have any tinfoil in my house. So I do believe, you know, part of that, but I feel like it's more ignorance than...
They still haven't taken it out of deodorant, and they still don't accept that our skin, what you put on your skin, just goes right into your body.
Could you just show me those guns again? I just want to see.
They've proven that underneath this...
Wait, where did they prove that, though?
Yeah.
Right to the guns.
To the east
over there. Yeah,
there's still that's aluminum. Where they did it. You're right, and a lot of people think that that's where breast cancer comes from, and that's where other cancers come from.
But see, so a lot of people think that that can't be true because they haven't taken it out of the products.
Then I guess you'd have to ask, why did they put it in there in the first place? What does it serve? What purpose does aluminum serve in?
And that's a weird thing too. Like, oh, you don't want to stink? Stop sweating. Well, you know what? It's not good to clog your pores.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. You know, you're right. And every day I put it on, I feel like, will this tip it over the scale where it now affects my, you know.
I don't use deodorant, but I also don't have armpit hair. So I'm this weird enigma. I don't stink.
You shave your armpit hair?
No, I'm like German and Filipino. They're both very hairless.
You didn't have the armpit hair. You didn't get it.
Mm-mm. And
you're rocking the mustache. How do you have
I always.
And not.
I always thought that being a man meant having chest hair and armpit hair. I never got those. So I have issues with and I couldn't grow my mustache until after my 30s because it would look like this. It was uneven.
Yeah. That's it.
One
that's
point
a
it just connected.
Well, it looks good now.
Thanks.
First of all, sorry to hear about your mother. That's hard. Oh,
thank you.
Especially Alzheimer's.
There's a bunch of, but here's the thing about aluminum and deodorants. They are listening about that because you can find a bunch of aluminum free deodorants now. It's just not antiperspirants. That's the whole issue. All right. Last question.
Okay. Yeah. I'll take the last question. Yeah. Go.
Do you believe in the simulation theory? Do you think that we live in a simulation?
Okay. So I want to answer, but I don't know because I used to work for Tesla. And when I did, I remember Elon saying, "What's behind the sim?" And I remember being fascinated by that question because he thinks we're living in a simulation. And that's the first time I thought about it. My answer is no. And here's why. I really believe in chaos. I think that we're here by this ridiculous accident. It's completely insane that we've evolved, that we're on this ball of dust in the middle of nowhere in some weird universe. And that there's no way this is intelligent design. Here's why. 75% of the world is covered in water that we can neither drink nor live on. That's not intelligent design. We get viruses. There's all these things that can kill us. I don't see how that's intelligent design. And so if I was going to design a world and watch my people hang out in it, it would be, sure, there'd be a beach, but you know, it would be like, you know, it would be livable and everybody would be gorgeous and, you know, all of that. So there it is.
Sorry to go off on this, but we've kind of gotten disconnected from that because like even in the realm of drought, they're like, oh, we're running out of water. I'm like, you dig deep enough, that well water is better than any water that you can get from anywhere else. And they say that there's more water in the earth than on top of it, mm-hmm. Which is amazing. The ringwoodite. And that water is like H3O. It's been so compressed that it's actually 3 oxygen, two hydrogen, okay. And it's actually better for you. And so I'm like, I feel like ancient civilizations only drank well water because maybe they knew that, you know, they didn't drink runoff. They drank well water. It's got minerals in it and the extra oxygen.
How did they know to dig into the ground, those ancient civilizations?
I mean, because they just didn't have anything better to do.
Yeah, like, let's just dig here and see what happens.
Let's dig. I mean, that's what kids and dogs do. So I can only imagine.
Nothing but time you dig.
Yeah. I can only imagine early civilization was like, well, fuck, here we are. What are you let's see what's down.
And I think that's
okay. Hey, it's water. Hey, we don't have to go to the river anymore.
H3O. Awesome. Let's drink it.
It's better for you. There's minerals in it. okay,
someday,
so on the
guy
wild
with
scale,
a hat and a mustache will.
So you're like you're in between like a 1 and a 2. So you're basically you're more of a Wade.
I'm a Wade. Yeah. Okay. Sorry, Willie.
The only thing
oh, good. The world is Wade.
Willie is he doesn't believe in simulation theory. I sort of do.
Can you please tell me why and can you win me over on it?
The biggest believers in simulation theory that are outspoken about it, they're like these rich narcissists that believe that they got to where they are because they believed in themselves. And I'm like, you know what? I do believe in the power of believing in yourself, but I'm like,
well, you can't answer this question because you don't believe in it. Now you're just saying what?
No, yeah, you're right.
You're cherry picking what the other people think and then refuting it. Here's why I believe in simulation, and it's more spiritual than anything. It's more about like the power of positive thinking, manifesting your life, kind of things. Like we all have these friends in life who just can't seem to catch a break, right? And I feel like that's because they're sending out something, some kind of energy from themselves that's manipulating the world around them and causing them to like have this bad life. And my dumb layman brain is like, okay, well then that's kind of a simulation. And so I don't know if I believe in like the specific, like, yeah, it's we're in a computer and like blah, blah, blah. I just think it's a simulation because it's a little bit manipulatable.
If it was a simulation, not that there needs to be a designer creator of the simulation, which is what some people think. There's other versions of it. I think that our existence is like a simulation just because of the nature of shit that we don't know. But I feel like more paranormal things would be real because that would test more in the realm of it being a simulation. It would test more things if crazier things people had to deal with that they didn't believe it.
So here's the thing that we didn't touch on, like, because Steve's simulation would be heaven, basically. I think that the simulation could just be like humanity ruined the world, and now the way that they're trying to figure out how not to ruin the world is by running these simulations that are recreating Earth, and we are all just kind of like test subjects running a million different computer fucking whatever simulation lines of code to get to a point where it's like, oh, we solved cancer in this simulation, so now we know how to do it, kind of thing. I don't really believe in any of this. It's just that's the most intriguing aspect of it.
I have a book that I read a long time ago called The Holograph. I just grabbed it from my thing. Mm-hmm. Holographic Universe by Michael Talbot. Have you read this?
I own it. I still haven't read it. Yeah.
Okay. So you have to read it. So what he says is that the simulation comes from us, that our brains are like hologram emitters, that just like a hologram, if you break a holographic plate, you can still shine a laser on a section of the plate and get the whole image. The brain is the same way. And he proposes that all of our brains collectively are emitting the reality that we have. So the simulation is not them controlling us, it's us simulating out, which is why, to your point, Wade, the guy who's always losing is putting out the vibes, right, that he's going to always be a loser. And that's the thing that his brain creates.
Sure, and that
collective consciousness, like Jung said, that's what I want.
And it helps explain how we got where we are. You know what I mean? Like, because we were in love with conflict and endorphins, and like, what better to have constant endorphin release than to like hate half of the rest of humanity? You know what I mean?
That's a great argument for evolution, because we're still monkeys with laser beams evolving out mm-hmm. of our need to kill the other in order to feel superior and or survive. I just think we're not evolved. I think we have 4 million years of DNA coding that says kill or be killed, and 40 years of rewiring in terms of, well, men need to be this and women can no longer have to be.
Sure. Yeah.
And we're fighting 4 million years of evolution. There's the conflict. That's what I think.
So let's talk futuristic.
Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi, the future. Is the future so bright? Or will it be a dark dystopian future that I can't stop being afraid of? Our guest, Steve Truitt, is a visionary futurist, and we hope that he can offer a possible hopeful future while we talk about all things future tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi.
What is the evolution of humanity moving forward? To just kind of like jumpstart your brain, I think that... and it's a little bit of a joke, but maybe not. I think that pretty soon this all depends on reincarnation, right? Like you said, energy can't be disposed of or whatever. So I think that like you die, you get put back into a new baby, just, you know, standard reincarnation bullshit. I think the evolution of humanity, though, is going to be, we're going to start being born with memories that we can then apply. So there's going to be like a bunch of 13-year-olds who are like geniuses. And I think that's the next step of evolution. And that's just to show you where I'm coming from. Like, how do you think that humanity could evolve? And I know it takes thousands of years and shit. Just like way, way, way down the line, what do you think is the thing? We got tails now?
Well, you know, we got rid of our tails for a specific reason. Right. Talking right. over to China. But the other thing is,
we had too many things. We couldn't have nice things.
We can't have nice things. first of all, I want to make an original point that you said that was babies will be born with memories. There are babies that are born that the second they learn to talk, they say, I remember my past.
Like, it's built on that. That's part of my theory. Yeah, is like, because yeah. Willie talks about that a lot, and kids can see ghosts and shit, but like, yeah. who knows really what's happening in those brains?
So that's,
and they lose
that, it. To me, that's either a connection to the universal energy, that there are echoes that they're tapping into, because maybe the fluoride didn't get into their hypothalamus.
right.
But to me, to be honest, and I don't want you kind of insinuated that I'm a cynic, and maybe I am.
Listen, that's a term of endearment coming from me, because you're like me.
Oh, that's good to know. Okay, good. I think that we're going to start incorporating electronics into our brain. This is not going to be enough anymore to not have it be part of us. And the second, and that's what my whole book is about. Pitching. I'm doing it again. I'm promoting.
Go ahead. Do it.
But that's what this whole book is about. It's about integrated senses where people are connected instantaneously. I just don't think we can't have that. And so, whereas we used to build great things like rockets and dams and battleships, now we're on the micro level where we can go in and do microsurgery. Connect. That's where we're going. I think humanity goes in inward. I think we go inside, we start figuring out our own brain, and we get into this Ant-Man quantum mania world where the outside world no longer matters, and that everything is our own simulation. Whereas this is why I think VR is going to be big. I think AI is, this is the other thing I wanted to mention. I'm going on a tangent, but
No, go ahead.
I write a lot about AI because I think everyone's like, oh, AI is going to, it's the Terminator. They're going to kill us. I don't think that's at all what AI is going to do. I think AI is going to dull us into being so complacent and immobile that we're just sitting in place, thinking about things and experiencing things on our goggles and then eventually into our senses. And I think eventually we just stop moving.
And that the sad part about that is the health of our body and brain requires us to be active. Right. And
so, what does that look like in the future? If we're like the Wall-E people,
that's right. Remember the guy in that?
Do they just get fed like technologically? Do they get like how do they eat and so? Or how would we eat if not that not them because it, like
yeah,
there's but like the, there's the like shake, cartoon the healthy shake, it.
You know?
Right, but what would Soylent ours be? Because that wouldn't be
it's Soylent Green. They're just pumped in it through their nose.
Oh, fun stuff. That makes me think of how I'm tired. Like, I'm so tired all the time. And I just don't. I wish there was like a natural product that would keep my energy up.
Oh, that's funny, dude. Because, I'm always tired. I'm going through that right now. I started using this stuff. It's called Magic Mind. It's got all these natural ingredients that like, I'm like right now I feel normal. I don't feel tired anymore. So I'm like, and I don't even drink coffee anymore. So I kind of replaced my coffee with this little energy shot. Uh-huh. It's got these mushroom things in it that I've been like doing a lot of research into, you know, like cordyceps. It has ashwagandha and turmeric, just all these things that like I'm trying to mix into my regular diet. So I've been taking this shot for like over a week now. And I do feel not tired. And I feel like I've got more focus. You know, I've been homeschooling Moose. So I'm like, I have to.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're noticeably more energized when we get on. And who knew? It's just because of what's it called?
The stuff I use is called Magic Mind. They have it at Sprouts. It's going to be at every Sprouts in January. And if you want, uh-huh. Go get some at Sprouts, give it a try. Or you can go to magicmind.com/RLSF. And if you do like it, you can get a subscription with up to 50% off if you use the code RLSF20.
Okay.
So I've got like a 2-month supply and I'll keep checking back in, but I'm digging it, man. I feel good.
Wow, that sounds great.
When I was in high school, I did an animation, which was terrible. And I called it The Future. I'd forgotten about this. And it was just a quick cartoon where a guy was sitting in a chair. He wasn't fat like Wall-E, but he's just sitting there. And a thing came over and it said food. And it went away. And it said sex. And it went down to his crotch. Went and then it went away. So you're just sitting there being fed all of these stimuli. And I guess that's where I got all of that. But I think we will be mobile. But I don't see us being anything like we are now.
Do you think it sounded like you were gonna say cyborg shit? It sounded like you were about to say that we will implant stuff and
Elon's talking about Neuralink, you know, and yeah. I just read yesterday that there was a computer when placed over the dome of a brain that could actually transmit signals into type. So
yeah, and I mean this technology is crazy. I would definitely not be one of the first people, but they can,
dude. Can you imagine how many Facebook posts you're gonna have for like sexy girls and stuff?
That's why old people.
Yeah, we don't. No, listen. I will never try out any technology that can expose my weird sex proclivities to Facebook because I thought about it in the wrong way. I didn't know the difference between a status update and a search.
I want to know what the weird sex proclivities are.
It's just ugly people. I just like watching ugly people have
sex.
You're
into ugly people.
Yeah. I guess it's not that embarrassing.
It's been worse.
But that terrifies me. The thought of having something on my brain reading my thoughts, I think it's...
Well, you don't have to do it, but you will be left behind and then you'll be in the minority and then you'll be shunned. Because the way our non-evolved brains work is if you're different, you're wrong. And that I don't think that's ever going to be
It's herd mentality, right? I mean, that's the whole reason we're here.
This is why I think about alien civilizations. This is why I think about hive mind civilizations, which I don't know if you can really be a hive mind, but thinking about that idea makes me say, oh, what about the bad apples? What's mind jail? When you
think that idea, mind jail.
Bad things that can infect and spread to everyone, right? How do you get rid of you? Like these days, you know, that's why anarchists were so bad for so long. It's like, oh, we can't let people get away from religion. And now that anarchy is still not popular, but I'm just saying like we've accepted not atheists. What's the other one?
Agnostics.
We've accepted agnostics. It's like, oh, you know what I mean? You don't need to believe in what we believe, but you should believe in something. And I say we, I'm just saying like, because to me, America is just so Christian. But what do you do with the bad mind apple? When we're all trying to connect consciousness or even connecting to the computer, like what I remember sitting in church, just cursing. And I couldn't stop myself. I'm like, why am I doing this? Because I'm not supposed to think this way.
It's why you laugh at a funeral, which I've done, which is horrible, because you're not supposed to, and it just comes out of you. So that's a great question. And I love the mind jail thing. I'm stealing it.
I think we should normalize laughing at funerals.
Well, I do too.
It should be a celebration.
Yeah,
that's the whole problem with funerals.
Funerals got way too tied up into religion, man. Funerals should just be like a party. If I go to Willie's funeral and there's not fucking house music or whatever bullshit he listens to, I'm gonna be like, "What the fuck is this?"
Can the thing with the nipples be there too?
We'll bring him. Okay. See how long he lasts.
I think, you know, okay, so in the book where I write, the first book, The Deletion, where the mind-connected circuits work, the theory is, well, crowd wisdom will allow the best of decisions to come to the fore, and everyone will make the right decisions.
Right.
Something happens in the middle of the book that tests that. A big, giant catastrophe happens, and everybody loses their shit, and that's when everything falls apart. That sets up the second book called The Spill. And The Spill is the moment where everyone who's mind connected just completely shuts down and freezes in like a cataleptic state where they just can't even move because they don't know what to do. So to answer your question, Willie, bad actor or not, the second you introduce a bunch of minds, there isn't going to be a crowd wisdom algorithm that works. It's just going to be pure chaos. And we're already seeing it with Facebook. We're seeing tests of it in Instagram and connected. You know, like I said, my children are on the phone constantly, and it's everything is what the phone is feeding them and how they feel about it. And there's just no sense of largesse anymore. I don't have the big picture. It's just what's happening in this moment, and how is it feeding my synapses? And it's messed up.
If we're talking about a hive mind and we all are thinking and reading each other's thoughts, it would just be like the new peer pressure. Whatever 51% of everyone was thinking is what would just start to encroach on everyone else's thoughts, because you're like, well, oh, fuck, 51%. It's like, okay, now that's the majority. So now I got to think that. And then it just kind of eats itself up.
How's that working in Congress, though, right?
Well, but these guys are fighting just to fight, right? I mean, they're just like putting on a performance so that
they can. But if you have 51% of anything, and it's a majority that's based on something that's good, but the killer instinct in the 40% is the one that's allowed us to survive this far, it's going to find a way to beat it.
Well, okay, maybe, but put a pin in that real quick, because like, think about like you and your five grade school friends. Hey, we want to go to the ditch and like blow up firecrackers. Well, I don't really want to do that, but like four of my other friends do, so I guess I will. So like peer pressure, like I said, I feel like it would just become a peer pressure thing, where, because like, here's the thing, I'm from Colorado. My parents are Republican and getting more so. I moved to LA, was introduced to a new environment where I don't know if I started thinking for myself or if I just succumbed to the people around me. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I don't know if I was just peer pressured into my beliefs right now and was before, and I'm just switching sides based on what suits me and how to be the least conflict man in the world. But like, I just feel like that's what would happen. You just like in your brain, you'd be like, oh, these people don't like me if I don't think like this. So I'm just going to start thinking like this.
Let's just say it's flowing through a central mind computer that forces the algorithm back out, which is what mindset does in the book. Then indeed the crowd wisdom algorithm works because it forces a benevolent result every time. But when it's tested with something stressful, the survival techniques are going to win out. I want to say the same thing as you do, Wade. I grew up in New Canaan, Connecticut, the whitest town in the world. And I was Republican and my first vote was Reagan. And, you know, I hated everybody, but people that look like me. And then I moved to LA for broadcasting, and I didn't get influenced by the town. I just experienced something different, and it widened my view. I'm now a center left pragmatist.
Yeah.
And that's because I experienced something different. And then I was able to say, oh, okay, had I stayed in New Canaan, I don't know what I would have been. I hope not what I left behind.
You would have been at January 6th.
Yeah. I would have been there, yeah, with my scissors.
They'd be calling you Scissor Man on all of the websites.
I got 18 years.
So one of my thoughts of how the universe works is we were a part of this creative connected consciousness, and that the only way that I could learn anything more was to experience suffering, which we weren't experiencing. So we disconnected from the source to have a human experience filled with suffering. And then we take that information back to the source and then reconnect. But
Wayne Dyer with the source? Because Wayne Dyer said the source. Are you a Wayne Dyer guy or no? You're not a Wayne Dyer guy.
I'm not familiar. So if because I do like the idea of connecting my brain to assisting, you know, just the internet or whatever in realms that it wouldn't be anything close to the internet now. But I'm just saying, like, if we did have a connected experience at some point, when that becomes the norm, I feel like people would want to then choose to break off because
the universe is individuals.
Yeah.
So you think our connected consciousness was that far? You think it was a hive mind? I always thought it was just like, I know what that tree is thinking. You know,
I think it was one mind, and the one mind it's like the universe wanted to look at itself.
So that feeds into my theory and the whole, everything we've said so far. It's like none of it has really been that original, because like Men in Black did the galaxy and a dog's collar and shit like that. But that is kind of like what I'm thinking about the Earth. I'm thinking humans won the Earth. We did it. We won. And now we're just going to be floating around until like another Earth civilization, you know, a proxy kind of thing shows up, and they're like way cooler than we are, and they kind of wipe us out, or we inbreed with them and stuff like that. And it just kind of keeps going. And it's like these are cells, these planets are cells, but they're all within a body. And that body is, you know, fucking just me, only in a different universe. Like when you think about it like that, it's like, who cares about anything, man? Because like, if there's just a big person that we're a part of, and he's like an idiot too, he's just like sniffing glue or whatever. And it's like, what are we doing? We could be all.
We're all stuck in Tom Arnold.
Was sniffing what made you think of Tom Arnold?
And we're trying so hard. We're trying so hard to make this planet good or whatever and get along. But in the end, we're one cell inside of Tom Arnold. And so what's the fucking point? You know?
Well, you bring up an interesting thing. And this is some work that I did in the late 90s, early 2000s with Landmark Education. And that is, human beings, while, in my opinion, not evolved, we still have a central cortex and a brain that allows us to think. And therefore, we are meaning-making machines. We make meaning out of everything. Right. You'll hear people say every day, there's a reason for that. This happened for a reason, or that happened for the universe wants me to know. I don't buy that. I don't believe in meaning. I don't think there's a meaning to anything. And therefore, from my perspective, and this is what allows me to get up and out of bed every day, is that if you have nothing and there is no meaning, then anything is possible, and you can make anything mean you want, what you want. Yeah. And so then you can attach your own meaning, and it doesn't have to be something that somebody else told you, or some other meaning that may be like your buddy that you mentioned, who was, you know, always having the bad luck in the sim. He's making that meaning, right? You can get in a car accident and go, well, thank God it wasn't yesterday, or at least I survived, or, you know, whatever it is. You can make meaning out of anything, but that's
of
all.
Of course I got meaning in a wreck.
This is.
Sure, dude. I knew it.
I mean, you dropped Wayne Dyer. This is a little bit of Buddhism, right? In here, this is like just kind of like.
I don't think so. No, because I think Buddhism says nothing is natural, but there. And to go back to Willie's word, source. And so Buddhism relies on the source to fulfill you with your own meaning. If you come from nothing, which means like this is an accident, it's a mistake, we're living on a ball of dust, it's a miracle that there's oxygen on the planet, it's kind of a weird thing, and things just happened, and suddenly there's Tom Arnold and all of us.
So it's nihilism.
I don't even know what that word means. I've heard the word, but I thought that meant...
It just means you believe in nothing. It's like, okay. It's like just I believe like in
no
nothing.
Meaning.
It's...
I just believe in no meaning, but I thought nihilistic was evil.
I don't think so. I think it's evil to the establishment. I think it's kind of like the anarchists or whatever. It's like the anarchists aren't evil unless you're the one they're anarching against. Anarching?
I've used that word. It's okay. But I think nihilism, I think of using it to break down the system, Steve Bannon wise, and blow the whole thing up and set it on fire.
Interesting.
That's stupid, egotistical. I didn't make it in Hollywood, and so now I've got a little bit of power and let's blow the
whole
thing
up. Yeah, maybe like a narcissistic nihilist. That's what I think. Go about it that way. Wow. Yeah. That's a good point of view.
But because if you come from nothing, then nihilism doesn't matter. It's just, look, nothing means anything. And so we'll just attach whatever we want.
And you can, I mean, listen, that's a very tempting point of view to just succumb to the darkness of none of this matters. So whatever, I'm going to do whatever the fuck I want. And yeah, I mean, you brought up Steve Bannon, like these guys who are just like manipulating people and just like,
yeah.
I really hate people who are like playing a game that no one else knows we're playing, you know?
You can use meaninglessness to create great things. I'm raising four daughters. I'm not just fucking around going, oh, nothing means anything. Go have sex. Go do like, no, I'm teaching them manners. I've taught them, you know, values, because those are the things that I think mean something. And so I attach meaning to them quite deliberately, not out of any past dictation that I might have received. It's just like, look, if nothing means anything, then let's create a world where it can actually be something really good, where you can actually enjoy it. Still doesn't have to have meaning, but you can enjoy it. And that's what I mean. And I think there's two types of people: those who could take zero and turn it into worse, and those who take zero can turn it into possibility. That's what I'm trying to say.
I like that notion of turning zero into either nothing or something. But when you fail at turning it into something, it's fucking, it's like, well, what's wrong with me? Like, why can't I do that? You know,
you made meaning out of it.
But you saying that too, it's just like when you look at anybody who's made it, they just talk about how much they had to fail. I was like, gosh, dude, huh? You got to fail too much. But like when you fail too much and then still haven't made it, you still got to fail more.
Well, I had a 15-year career in television. I was on TV for 15 years, and then I got replaced by a girl half my age who had giant boobs, and they're like, you're done. And I was on local news, and I just thought, okay, that makes sense. I get it. I'm an older, aging white guy with children. I guess I'm not as attractive as some hottie. So I went off and just created another.
No, don't say that. Don't you dare say that about yourself. You're very attractive.
Do you see me? So I just did something else, and it didn't make it mean anything. I'm like, of course that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's LA, they like the
That's young- great, dude. That could have been, that's the end of the world for some people. So.
Well, but that's the thing. What's the end of the world? Because this is what is happening to me right now. I'm an old white comedy writer who can't get a job. And I'm sort of at this like, you know, fork in the road of like, do I keep banging my head against this thing, or do I do something else? And the problem with doing something else is I don't know how to do anything else. And the other problem is I just become homeless.
The only reason I'm on this podcast, Wade, is because when I decided.
No, that's exactly what I'm saying. Your career trajectory hit a fucking dead end or whatever you want to call it. And then you decided to be a writer.
Yeah.
Like, but that must have been tough, right? Like, how do you publish how do you even do that?
Well, okay, so I'll tell you this, and I learned this from two people, and one you may know. Do you know George Will? Not George Will. G. Gordon Liddy from the 70s, Watergate.
Yeah.
Okay, I read his book called Will, not George Will. Will and Elon Musk. These are guys that get up in the morning and they go. They don't ask why. They go how. And so if you can tap into the energy that says, how can I get through the rest of the day and make it better than it started, even if it's one thing? And I know that sounds cliche, but when I got kicked out of television and I had to scrape and find a job and I figured out a new career and I'm like, well, fuck that. I still want to be an artist. And so I started writing this book. The only reason I'm on this podcast is because I finished the book, is because I thought, if I don't, I'll die of something. I'll get cancer because I'm just going to be fucking miserable. I have to do this for myself. I'm not going to make meaning out of the fact that I got summarily dismissed from a 15-year career. I'm going to do something about it. And so to answer your question, how does an aging white writer find his path? The way I found out I was a writer was I asked the one guy in TV who could have given me a job why he wouldn't hire me. And he told me, he goes, you don't fit in this what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know, paradigm or whatever it is. You don't fit in this demographic. Mm-hmm. He goes, what do you love to do? And I told him my whole story. When I was a kid, I did this. And after I told him everything I did, I interviewed him. And after I told him everything I did, he said, it sounds to me actually like you're a writer. And I was like, fuck, you're right. That is exact. Because everything I've ever done, whether on TV or not, I always wrote everything. And so I thought, mm-hmm. Well, I've always had the story I've always wanted to do. And suddenly I'm writing, and that's going to be my last career, is I'm going to be a full-time author. It might take me 6, 7, 10 years. I can still train and do all the stuff I do for corporations and stuff, but I'm a writer now. And so part of it is saying I can shift my reality by simply getting off whatever train I was on that was saying, oh, damn, someone else is telling me I can't be this.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if you know the author Michael Kuhn, who's a very funny writer, he wrote the Locklear Letters. You should look it up. You'll fucking die laughing reading it. Locklear Letters by Michael Kuhn, K-U-N. You can do that. I've seen your stuff, Wade. You can write funny stuff.
And thanks.
You could write a really funny novel if you wanted, and it's possible. So I went out and I found a hybrid publisher. I took out some of my savings. I collaborated with them. I paid them to do my marketing. And the next thing I know, I'm on this podcast.
Well, dude, that's fucking great, man. And I love that you were in a situation where no matter how low or just fucked you were, you were still able to listen. And that's the hardest part. And so how many people are going to basically interview the person that couldn't hire them and then listen and be like, oh, maybe you should be a writer. Fuck you.
It was the last thing I thought I was going to hear. I thought he was going to go, hey, man, I'll give you a job. And as soon as he said it, I was like, of course, the light bulb.
Did you have like your sad puppy dog eyes? Were you wearing like a disheveled shirt? And
I went like this. Excuse me. I'm all right. It's allergies.
Why didn't you hire me?
I need advice. I learned that if you ask for advice, you get money. And if you ask for money, you get advice.
That cannot be your quote. Is that your quote?
That's not my quote.
Okay. Okay. Because if it were,
it's not my quote.
So real quick, let's talk. Well, Willie, I mean, because we're up against it. Do you have one more thing you want to introduce here, and then we can wrap it up?
Yeah, right. I just want to ask. Here you are thinking of the future more than most people. You've connected to having to deal with giant changes like and you've seen AI and you've worked with Tesla. My question is, do you think that technology can push human evolution, or that we will, or the a reverse where it doesn't, and we're just like, our technology is so far ahead of us that we're just these monkeys playing with computers?
I think it's kind of the premise of your book, right? It's like,
it is.
Is AI going to help us, or is AI going to make us lazy?
Yeah. And in the book, AI kills itself because I wanted to see past that, which is why I get to call myself a futurist. Like, oh, what happens after AI? But no, I think, Willie, to answer your question, I think AI is going to cover us like a blanket and put us to sleep. And it's not going to kill us like Terminator, but it's going to make our lives so immobile that we don't have to think anymore. And that's what it's going to do. It's not going to be our overlord. It's not going to be evil. It's just going to make our lives so simple that our brains become cotton and we just don't think anymore. It's already happening with the phones and all the technology. So I'm never afraid of it. I just think it's a tool that we're going to use improperly. So,
there's something about it, though, just like contentment and complacency for someone who has anxiety sounds so fucking good. I'm kind of like, why not? You know,
see, my hope is that we now are seeing things that we aren't used to seeing, reality in a different way. I know that there's plenty of people trying to skew reality, but my hope is that, see, I think that the world is just being run by narcissists and people just trying to make money. And I'm hoping the AI can be the tool to help us see and realize that these people should not be in charge. Not to say that any, like, that's my hope, is that AI is going to help us overthrow not the people, but the method.
Steve, and you got to tell him how naive
the man,
that
so
is.
To speak. But I think that the people who have the money are just going to buy up all the AI and use it.
Yeah. The AI is programmed by those people. They're not going to throw some shit in there where it's like, fuck. You know,
I don't mean to bring you down, Willie, but at least you got heaven.
It's good.
You got heaven to look forward to.
It's good to hear that, because now I need to reprogram myself to make AI the tool that I need.
Yes. Take charge. Get ahead of it. Get ahead of it. Use it. And you could too, Wade. Totally. I use it all the time. I do not use it to write my books, but I asked it about parenting a teenager. I've asked it about certain things at work. I use it all the time.
I use it a lot. Part of my problem is I don't believe it half the time, you know? A lot of what is sourced from it is coming from people who I don't respect or whatever. And so it's like,
it's not supposed to have an agenda. It doesn't have an agenda. If you look at somebody so stupid, could you possibly be manipulated by it?
Yeah, but you can ask it stuff and it'll be like, I'm not allowed to answer that. And then you're like, okay, so there's like stuff on
here. Can you show me some ugly people having sex? Is that what you asked for?
Well, I wish, but all I know is ChatGPT and it doesn't do photos yet. And I've been trying to get the AI to make them, but then that costs like crypto or whatever. So I'm just in a real hole here when it comes to my porn.
Well, YouPorn is free, and I'm sure there's a channel just for you.
I've been through it. I've been through it all. I got a big problem. Okay.
Sorry to hear that.
So the next book is coming out, what'd you say, April?
Yeah, Mindset Chronicles is out now, book one, and the second one comes out April 24. It's called The Spill.
The Spill. Does it have a subtitle? Is it like From the World?
The Spill is the subtitle. So the Mindset Chronicles, here, I'll show you again.
Is the main title. Got it. Mindset Chronicles.
Book one, The Deletion.
The Deletion, got it.
To The Spill. And then book three is called The Benevolent. And I won't tell you why unless you want to have me on next year. And then I'll tell you.
Well, listen, if you want to stick around and continue the conversation, it would be nice to just kind of talk about writing and AI and stuff like that, and like what that future kind of looks like. Or just the process of being a writer. I don't know. I like talking to writers and seeing how I am not as good as them because their process is so fucking stringent and fucking. Thank you for being here. It's stevetruitt.com. You can read his blog, From the Desk of a Futurist. I need to spell your name. It's Steve, like you would spell it, and then T-R-U-I-T-T. Yeah?
Yep. It's Irish.
So, dude, thank you again for being here.
I don't know why
and
thank you.
Do you have any last kind of plugs or anything that you want to throw out?
Plastics. No, I don't. Just go to my website, please. Please buy my book. Please buy my book. Thank you. Thank you guys for having me on. I'm a fan of yours. And it was
thanks,
great
fan. No, yeah. Like the only reason we had you on is because we watched your interviews and it was like, this guy's not a psycho. We can have him on. He's cool.
Not psycho. Not yet.
Not yet. We'll see what happens.
Until I get a little money in my pocket. I'm going to be a dick.
I'm sorry. I was going to ask you what happened to that 15 years of TV money, but I know what happened to it. It's nothing. You can't live on that shit.
Went right
or
up there.
Coke.
Yeah, went right up the nose.
Willie, anything? Final things?
No, it was a pleasure to talk to you about the future, just the different perspective of things, because, you know, I'm so skewed with in the conspiracy realm, and I can't accept humans being in charge of humans. But you know what? Connecting humans via digital sources will just make us police ourselves. And I dig that. I am excited to read your book. I haven't read it yet.
Thank you.
Did you get a copy? Did you get sent a copy?
No, but
I can send you one.
Yeah, send us some copies.
Do me a favor. Email me your addresses. I'll send them.
All right, we'll do that.
You should get The Holographic Universe. You should both get that. It's a great book.
Yeah, I have it. I did a show referencing it because I'm definitely into the realm of
you got to read it.
the, you know, the hologram, because that what the whole reason why simulation theory came about is because of him talking about it. People, he says that our experience is like a hologram, not that, I mean, not a hologram. Our experience is like a simulation, not that it was a simulation.
Yeah.
He got me more hooked on the Michael Kuhn thing. I might look that up
and read the Locklear letters. You will be totally inspired. It's your kind of
great. That's what I want, man. I want like contemporary sort of like muses that will get me writing.
You will absolutely be inspired by that book. It's so
great. Funny. Thank you. It's a great read. All right. Thanks again for being here. Thank you everyone for listening. Patreon.com/real-life-sci-fi, 2 bonus episodes a week. Just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you. We'll see you next time.